What is it that we like about behind-the-scenes videos? Maybe you usually watch them, and maybe you don't, but it's something that just about every DVD or Blu-ray disc will have. Some discs include commentary, some include trivia, some include bloopers, but the making of is almost universal. Why? Well, one reason is we're curious. We like to know what happens after the camera stops rolling. What happens next? The stuff we don't get to see. We like to know the extras, the in-betweens, the afters, the little moments we would otherwise miss. We don't want the story to end. This morning, Charles read for us John 6, 1-21, John's account of the feeding of the 5,000 and Jesus walking on the water. And that text is very much like the regular movie that you have on the disc. All four Gospels tell it. It's a quintessential Bible story, the kind that we'd all learn early on in Sunday school. It's the sort of story that would make the headlines. But what happens next? What happens after the cameras stop rolling? Once the news crew has packed up and left, and life goes on? If we go back to the main menu and select bonus features, what will we find? Well, the gospel writer John is one of those guys who loves the bonus features. He's the sort of guy who spends more time going through the extra material than he did the movie itself. And the gospel that he wrote is full of it. John loves to take us deeper than the headlines. He loves to focus in on the little moments, the behind the scenes, which might not get their own movie or a front page headline, but which nevertheless have the power to change our lives. He loves to record what comes next. So today we're going to pick up right where the feeding of the 5,000 leaves off, John 6, 22-35. We're going to be watching the bonus features. John 6, starting at 25. When they found him on the other side of the lake, they asked him, "Rabbi, when did you get here?" Jesus answered, "Very truly I tell you, you are looking for me, not because you saw the signs I performed, but because you ate the loaves and had your fill. Do not work for food that spoils, but for food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. For on him God the Father has placed his seal of approval." Then they asked him, "What must we do to do the works God requires?" Jesus answered, "The work of God is this, to believe in the one he has sent." So they asked him, "What sign then will you give that we may see it and believe you? What will you do? Our ancestors ate the manna in the wilderness, as it is written, 'He gave them bread from heaven to eat.'" Jesus said to them, "Very truly I tell you, it is not Moses who has given you the bread from heaven, but it is my Father who gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is the bread that comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." "Sir," they said, "always give us this bread." Then Jesus declared, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty." So as you might recall, Jesus had gone to the far shore of the Sea of Galilee and had been teaching on a mountainside. A very large crowd had come to listen because they'd seen the signs he'd been performing. The crowd listened to Jesus talk for a long time, but they hadn't eaten in quite a while. The crowd was so large, in fact, that there would be no way of providing food for all of them. But at the same time, sending them away wouldn't work, since some of them had come from very far away. So as I'm sure you might recall, Jesus performed one of his most famous miracles by turning the 5 loaves and 2 fish into food for them all. And this had amazed the crowd. They had enjoyed listening to his teaching, but this was on the next level. They had witnessed a miracle with their own eyes, and they knew for a fact that this Jesus guy had some power, that he was the real deal. And then after, as Charles read for us, the disciples crossed the sea that night to go to Capernaum, and Jesus came to them walking on the water, performing yet another miracle. That was the main movie, and so the bonus features begin. Well, a lot of the crowd has stayed on that mountainside, hoping to hear more from Jesus the next day, and perhaps to get more food too. Well, as the sun rose over the Galilee hills and the crowd began to wake up, they look in their midst for Jesus, and it didn't take long for them to realize that he was not there. They knew the disciples had left the night before, but they had been pretty sure that Jesus hadn't gone in the boat with them, and yet somehow it seems he went with them to Capernaum. Well, it had been wonderful to have their bellies fed the previous day, but guess what happens now, the morning after? Well, they're hungry again. The effects of the miracle have well and truly worn off. The food was good while it lasted, but they were hungry, and Jesus was nowhere to be found. And some of the crowd might have been wondering, is that all Jesus is? He feeds you once and then vanishes? He fills you up and then is gone when you're hungry the next time? And that's the question that the text starts off with. What happens now? Jesus had the power to provide them with physical food, and he did that. But is that all? A temporary meal that made you full for a few hours? And so some of the crowd goes across the sea to find Jesus again. On the surface, it's because they want more food, no denying that. But there's something deeper going on. What they really wanted in going to Jesus was to have their needs continually met. Jesus had met their physical needs once, yes, but they didn't want just a one-time thing. They wanted to be assured that they would be full forever. And I think part of that goes to a deeper desire that all people have. Below our surface needs, there's something deeper, a hole that needs to be filled. We need something more from life than just food and entertainment and relaxation. We need something only Jesus can offer. Now, of course, the crowds don't exactly have all that on their minds as they sail across the sea to Capernaum. Food is what's on their mind. They're not yet thinking on that deeper level. For now, they just want another meal. The unfortunate truth is, as broken human beings, we aren't always the best when it comes to coming to Jesus. We don't always know what we truly need. Like these crowds, we might just be looking on the surface. Sometimes we come with the wrong motives, because we want Jesus to do something for us. Sometimes we can come mindlessly, out of habit. And as a fellow human being, John is deeply aware of our weaknesses, and in this story he brings them to our attention. As the crowds arrive in Capernaum and find Jesus talking with his disciples outside the synagogue, John goes and records what's kind of a disastrous conversation, where there's really a breakdown of communication. He puts on display our weaknesses in coming to Jesus. So let's step into the text for a moment and walk through this conversation from the perspective of the crowds. Well, in verse 25, they greet Jesus and say, "Rabbi, when did you get here?" Not a bad conversation starter, considering that they knew Jesus hadn't gotten into the boat with his disciples. But Jesus actually doesn't answer their question, and instead completely changes the subject. Verse 26, "Very truly I tell you, you are looking for me not because you saw the signs I performed, but because you ate the loaves and had your fill." Jesus wastes no time in trying to reach out to these crowds. Jesus, too, is deeply aware of our weaknesses. He knows that we aren't always the best at coming to him, but he doesn't turn the crowds away. He's going to work with them. They came to him because they wanted more food. They wanted to know, what's the miracle of the day? What's on the menu for tonight? They were thinking on the surface level, but Jesus wants to bring them deeper to the spiritual level. And he starts that by showing them this. He says that they weren't yet interested in who he truly was or what he truly offered. They were interested in having their bellies filled again. Well, you can imagine they stand there kind of awkwardly, like, does this guy know how a conversation works? He ignored their excellent conversation starter and then questioned their motives in talking to him. Is there no social etiquette? But Jesus continues, "Do not work for food that spoils, but for food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you, for on him God the Father has placed his seal of approval." He wants to not just fill their stomachs temporarily, he wants to be so much more. He wants to give them food that endures to eternal life. The crowd responds, "What must we do to do the work God requires?" Verse 28. Jesus had told them to work for food that endures, so what work do they have to do? But Jesus answers, "The work of God is this, to believe in the one he has sent." He compassionately corrects them because they had missed the point. He hadn't meant that they have to work to get this food. He had said that the Son of Man would give it to them. He had just meant that they should set their eyes toward the goal of the spiritual rather than the physical. And so he gently brings them back on track, telling them that the work is to believe. If they believe in the one whom God has sent, then they would have this food that endures to eternal life. Well, Jesus was making some pretty bold claims. If they believed in him, they would get food that endured forever. He was calling himself the one God had sent, the Son of Man, that was all about him. The crowds didn't like that. Moses, the greatest prophet who ever lived, had given them manna in the desert, and even that manna had perished. And this Jesus guy thought that he could give them food that would never perish? So they ask him in verse 30, "What sign then will you give that we may see it and believe you? What will you do? Our ancestors ate manna in the wilderness, as it is written. He gave them bread from heaven to eat." Jesus answers with compassion, again correcting their mistaken perspective. "Very truly I tell you, it is not Moses who has given you the bread from heaven, but it is my Father who gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is the bread that comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." It's not Moses versus Jesus. It's all about God the Father. God gave Israel manna through his servant Moses, and now he has sent his Son, the living bread, down to earth to give life to the world. To attribute the miracle to Moses would be to miss the point entirely. God provided for his people back then, and now through Jesus, he continued to provide for his people. We're going to stop there for now. Through this conversation, John has taken our weaknesses and brought them to the front. These crowds knew they needed something. They knew that they wanted to be fulfilled forever, not just once. And they had a sneaking suspicion that Jesus was the one who could do it. But as fellow broken people, they didn't know how to find that fulfillment. They weren't able to see that it went beyond just being hungry. They came to Jesus, but they didn't understand what he truly offered. They had been so focused on getting physical bread that they missed the bread of life who was standing before them. And I think we all have some of those weaknesses in us. We all have that deeper longing, knowing we want to be eternally filled, but we don't always know how. Those weaknesses in coming to Jesus can be present in the person who's been coming to church for their whole life, but it feels routine. They come to Jesus, but it feels hollow and external. They want passion, but can't seem to find it. Like the crowds, they stand before Jesus, but they cannot connect, and they do not ask for the bread of life. Those weaknesses can be present in the person for whom year after year of work and stress and debt has laid bare the gaping hole in their heart. They used to be able to drown out that deeper longing through distractions and entertainment, living for the weekends. But as the years drag on and life feels so empty, it becomes painfully obvious that they need something more, but they don't know what. They recognize that deeper need, but as fellow fallen human beings, they didn't know who could fill the hole in their hearts. Those weaknesses can be present in the faithful Christian who prays regularly and reads scripture, but who realizes that every time they pray, it is just because they need something from God, because they want God to do something for them. Like the crowds in the story, they remain on the surface level and never search deeper. We're a broken people, and no matter where we are in life, those weaknesses can weigh us down as we come to Jesus. Like the crowds in the story, we can be so concentrated on getting physical bread that we too miss the bread of life who stands before us. But the story doesn't end there. See, by Jesus' reactions, the crowd knew they had missed something. They weren't sure what, but it was clear they hadn't understood what Jesus had been saying. They perhaps exchanged ashamed glances, knowing they had embarrassed themselves in front of the teacher, and got ready to leave. But Jesus was not quite done with them yet. Why did John put our weaknesses on display? It was so he could bring the love and compassion of Jesus to center stage. Those crowds may have come to Jesus for the wrong reasons. They may have missed what he was truly offering, but Jesus wasn't going to let them stay that way. He had tried to show them who he was through the conversation, and they missed what he meant, but he wasn't done with them. Because even though they came for the wrong reasons, they came to him nonetheless, and he wasn't going to let them leave unchanged. And so he went and stood in their midst and said, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty." Jesus had been pointing them to his true identity. Now he comes out and says it. He says it so they cannot miss it, He says it so that all can understand and believe. Jesus reveals to them who he truly is and what he truly offers. Jesus produced physical bread, and they all saw that, but he was so much more. He is the bread of life, the bread from heaven, from the Father, who gives life to the world. The fact is, the crowds came to Jesus for pretty shallow reasons, but Jesus didn't rebuke them for their shallowness. He worked with them where they were. His love shone through all the stronger in their weaknesses, and he reached out to them. We aren't always the best at coming to Jesus, it's true. We have failures and inadequacies, and we are a broken people. But is Jesus done with us? Does he turn us away for those failures? Not at all. Whether we've been coming to church for our whole lives or have come for the first time, no matter what weaknesses we take to Jesus, he meets us where we are and gently leads us to who he truly is. Sometimes we miss him. Sometimes we come to him for selfish, earthly reasons, but he reaches out in grace and raises our perspectives to see him as he truly is. He reveals himself to us as the bread of life, the one true source of satisfaction who came down from heaven. He fills us with spiritual nourishment and eternally provides for our deepest needs. And so it's true, we aren't always the best at coming to Jesus, but the good news is that Jesus comes to us. God is not done with us, and he is not done with this world. As the busyness and stress of life continue to lay bare the gaping hole in people's hearts, Jesus is reaching out, nourishing us, feeding us, restoring us, revealing himself as the one who can fill that hole eternally. Like the crowds, we might ask, what's the catch? What work do we have to do to earn this bread of life? And to us, as to them, Jesus responds, the work of God is to believe in the one he has sent. There is no catch. It's not something we have to earn. It is a gift given freely. We look to Christ in faith, whether that faith is strong or weak, and he takes us where we are and fills us eternally. Back then and today, Jesus says, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. And so the disc takes us back to the main menu, and the bonus features come to a close. This little story, this behind-the-scenes moment, might not be the sort of story that would make the headlines or that would get its own movie, but it is the sort of story that can impact people's lives, that goes a long way to revealing who Jesus truly is. And I think I'm beginning to understand why John likes the bonus features so much. With Jesus, there is always more to the story. He is not done with us, and he is working through these passages to reveal himself to us, to show us that he is the bread of life. Let us come to him. Let us come to the bread of life and freely accept his wonderful, eternal gift. Now, if you'll excuse me, John is in the living room, and we're going to watch the director's commentary. See you in 3 hours.